Joshua chapter 3, verses 1 through 4, the Bible says this, "And Joshua rose early in the morning, and they removed from Shittim and came to Jordan, he and all the children of Israel, and lodged there before they passed over. And it came to pass after 3 days that the officers went through the host, and they commanded the people, saying, When ye see the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord your God, and the priests, the Levites, bearing it, then ye shall remove from your place and go after it. Yet there shall be a space between you and it, about 2,000 cubits by measure. Come not near unto it, that ye may know the way by which ye must go, for ye have not passed this way heretofore." And let's pray together. Father, thank you for this morning, for each one that's here. I pray that you would meet with us in this service. This message, I had Renee and Jerry in mind when we put it together. And I know Jerry's not here yet, and Renee has to leave in just a few minutes to go to work. But I pray, Father, that you would speak to the two of them through the tape, and then I pray that you would speak to all of us. We're not graduating from high school this morning, but we, like they, are going into a new place. And so I pray, Holy Spirit, that you would speak to each one of us, that you would accomplish in each heart what you need to accomplish today. Help us to uplift Jesus, and if there's somebody here that doesn't know him as their personal Savior, I pray this morning would be the day that they get saved. For it's in Christ's name I pray. Amen. In this passage of Scripture that we just read, the Jews were about to cross the Jordan River. And they were about to go into the land of Canaan, the land that God had promised his people way back, starting with Abraham. Hundreds of years before he was going to give it to them, when Abraham was there, he said, "Walk around the land, because every place your foot steps, I'm going to give to your descendants." And he made that same promise to Isaac, and he made that same promise to Jacob. And it had been passed down from generation to generation. "Hey, I've prepared a place for you, my people, and I'm going to give it to you." Another miracle was about to happen. The Jews had seen many. I mean, they came out of Egypt and they saw the Red Sea part, and God took care of them in the wilderness with miracle after miracle. And another miracle was about to take place, because they were about to cross the Jordan River. And the Jordan River, just like the Red Sea, was going to open up, and the ground on the riverbed was going to dry up, and they were going to pass over on dry ground. And that was going to show God's people, the people that were going to make that journey, and it was also going to show the people in Canaan that God was leading his people to take this land, and he was going to make sure that they got it. In fact, you remember when the spies went into Jericho and they talked to Rahab. Rahab made this statement. She said, "When we saw everything that your God did for you, our hearts trembled. We knew that he was going to give you this land. We know there's no way that we can stand against you." And so in the early part of chapter 3, Joshua and the leaders of the people, he's giving them instructions. And he says this, he says, "When you see the Ark of the Covenant, then get up from where you are and go after it." In other words, he's saying, when you see the priest, lift up the Ark and begin to carry it, then rise up from where you are and go after it, that ye may know the way to go. He says this, "For ye have not passed this way heretofore." This morning, as I mentioned, I want to give a charge to our graduates, but I also want to give a charge to all of us. I want to preach on that subject, that little line, "Ye have not passed this way before." And I want to make 4 points. I want to point out 4 things from this story, and then I want to make an application to Jerry and Renee, and then an application to everybody that's here that I think fits. I don't think I have to artificially stretch and make it fit. I think it fits. So I want you to listen this morning. Number one, The Israelites were going to a new, different, and strange place. They'd been in the wilderness for 40 years. The wilderness was a barren, dry wasteland. God, as you recall, had to feed them. Everything they ate while they were in the wilderness for 40 years, God gave them. I mean, every morning when the dew was on the ground and when the dew melted or whatever dew does, evaporated, there on the ground was the heavenly bread, the manna, that the Jews ate every day for 40 years. When they got hungry for meat, God sent quail in and gave plenty of meat for them to eat. You see, the land in which they were in was not a rich land. It had no wild fruit trees growing. It had no edible plants. It had no vegetables. It had no, in fact, it had no game, no deer in the wilderness, no quail other than what God brought. There was no wild animals that they could hunt, no fresh fruit that they could eat, no fresh vegetables that they could eat. It was a barren, dry, wasteful land. In fact, when they had water to drink, God had to give them that. There were no streams, there were no lakes, there were no rivers, even no creeks that ran through that land. We read that they found an oasis every now and then with a little body of water. But most of the time when they had water to drink, it was God that gave it to them. He'd bring it from the strangest places, from a rock, different times. And everything that they needed to live, food and water, God gave to them. It was also a time in the wilderness of death and despair. You see, God had brought them to the promised land, and he said, go in and take it. And they appointed a little committee, and the committee went in to spy out the land and said, it's a wonderful, rich land, but the cities are walled and the people are tall. There's no way that we can take this land. Now, they were right. There was no way they could do it, but they forgot that they had a God who could do it. And they turned around and left. And in punishment for that disobedience, God said, everybody that's over 20 years old will die. And for every day the spies spent in the wilderness, 40 days, you're going to wander. I mean, every day that the spies spent in the land of Canaan, you're going to spend a year wandering in the wilderness. 40 years. And in that 40-year time period, everybody that's over 20 years old is going to die. And it's in punishment for your sin of disobedience and not going in and taking the land. And so you can imagine what kind of existence the people had. Everybody that was over 20 years old, the only thing that they had to look forward to was a rough trek through the wilderness that would end in death before anything else happened. And everybody that was under 20 years old, they didn't know what was happening. I mean, they saw their parents and their grandparents die. They had funeral after funeral. As I go back and I read in the book of Numbers what happened, I don't see where God ever promised those that weren't 20 that they would get to go in later. And so it was a time of uncertainty. It was a time of death. It was a time of despair. It was a time when there was no hope for a better life. Now, all of that was about to change. They were headed into the land of Canaan, a land that the Bible describes that flows with milk and honey, a land that had rivers, streams, and lake, a rich land where fruit grew and vegetables grew and where there was plenty of game. You remember, even when the spies went in, they picked a bunch of grapes from a place called Eshcol, and it took two of them to carry it back on a pole between them. And they brought it back and said, it is a rich land. Look at some of the grapes that grow in this land. It was a land that God had prepared just for them. It was a land of life. It was a land of victory. It was a land of hope. It was a place that was completely different from where they'd spent the last 20 years of their life. You see, the oldest person that would have been alive when they came out of Egypt was 19. And so those that had come out of Egypt at 19, they spent 40 years of their life wandering in the wilderness, and those that were born in the wilderness had spent all their life in the wilderness from 1 to 40, and the land that they were going into, the promised land, was completely different from the land that they'd spent the last 40 years of their life in. Completely different. That's why Joshua said, "You're going to a place that you've never been before." Now, Jerry and Renee are doing that same thing. They're both going to college. Renee mentioned a moment ago where she's going. I'm going to have Jerry come up after a while, and after I get done preaching, and he'll tell you where he's going, what he's going to study, and what he has plans to do. But they're going to college. Neither one of them have ever done that before. It's new. It's different. They're going to have more independence. A little bit. I'll smile, and that'll be an inside joke between Grandma and Mom. But they'll have more independence than they had before. That will be new and different. They'll have to make more decisions than they did before. That'll be new and different. They'll meet different people than they knew in high school. That'll be new and different. They'll be exposed to new ideas, things they've never heard before. That'll be new and different. And as they grow older, their hopes and their dreams that they have now will grow and blossom. And that will be new and different. So just like the Israelites were going into a new and different and strange land, so are Jerry and Renee about to make that journey. Oh, and by the way, I would submit to you this morning that every single one of us are probably about to make that same journey. You see, things happen. We don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. God does. But there are things that happen in other than college graduates' lives that change the rest of their lives. A brother comes and you have to care for him. Somebody gets sick and life changes. Or you have an operation and you have to change your diet and change the way you live a little bit. Or a loved one passes away and you have to face life by yourself. It's different. It's something you've never done before. It's something that's strange as you go into it. And so I would submit to all of us this morning, because we don't know what tomorrow holds, that week two, like our graduates, could be going into a new and different and strange place. Some of you are already there this morning. Something's happened in your life, and you're in a place you've never been before. You're doing things. I was talking to Doris last night at the hospital, and she's been in the hospital a lot. And one of the statements she made stuck in my mind and reminded me about this point. She said, "You know, I never thought I'd get to the point where I'd have to spend so much time in the hospital. I just never thought I would have to do that." And that's what happens. Things come into our life that just like Joshua says, "Hey, you've never passed this way before." And there are people in this room this morning that are living a life that they've never lived before. So, point number two. The Israelites had gone to a strange place before. This wasn't the first time that they'd gone to a new and different place. You see, when they went into the wilderness, it was different and strange from the place that they had been before. You see, they had been slaves in Egypt. The nation of Israel had been slaves in Egypt for 430 years. Every single person that came out of Egypt had been a slave all of their life. Say, "Oh, Brother Darrell, back in those days, they lived longer. I remember people living 800, 900, 969 years. Not in Moses' time. They lived 100, they lived a couple hundred, maybe 250, maybe 300 years. But I don't find anybody in Moses' time living over 400 years. And so every person that came out of Egypt had been a slave all their life. All of their life they lived in captivity. All of their life they took orders from somebody else. All of their life they could not own property. All of their life they could not gather wealth. All of their life they could not live where they wanted. They had to live where somebody told them to live. All of their life they did not choose what they did. Somebody else chose their job and occupation for them. All of their life they could not worship God in the way that they wanted to worship God. This thought struck me as I was studying this week. Do you think the Egyptians let the Israelites worship God in the way that they wanted to? I don't think so. I mean, that's the message that Moses brought to Pharaoh, is to let my people go. We want to go out into the wilderness and worship our God. They couldn't worship the way that they worship. All of their life was in slavery. It was a life of misery. Then Moses came, and he had a message from God. He took that message to Pharaoh, and he said, "Let my people go." And I don't have time to tell you the whole story. You that know the Bible even a little bit know the story of all the plagues that God brought upon Egypt and how finally Pharaoh let them go. And they came to the Red Sea and they crossed the Red Sea and they went into the wilderness. And yes, it was a dry, barren, and wasteland, but they were free. They were free to worship their God. They were free to make their own decisions. They were free to live where they wanted to live. They were free to do what they wanted to do. Now, they had more responsibility. Responsibility comes with freedom. Jerry, I'd remind you of that. And Renee, as she hears the tape, I would remind her of that. They had freedom and they had responsibilities that went along with that freedom. But when they came out of Egypt... And they, when they went into the wilderness, they were going into a place they'd never been before. Hey, our graduates have gone into a place they'd never been before. When Jerry started kindergarten, and it happens the same to every kid. When Kate bought him his first little lunchbox, probably had a superhero on the side. And when she's in, and that little rug that rolled up, you know, so they could take naps. I don't remember my kindergarten day. I remember sending the kids. But when he went off to kindergarten, and when Renee went off to kindergarten with her little lunchbox and her rug, first time away from mom and dad. First time away from leaving home for, it seemed like forever, 4 hours, but it seemed like forever. That was a new, strange, and different place. That was a place they'd never been before. I mean, when they went into high school, junior high, whenever you start switching classes, you know, in grade school, at least when I was growing up, you had the same teacher all day. You didn't have to go from class to class. One of my nightmares when I went to junior high, and I had it all the way through college, was that I would forget my schedule and not know where to go. And I'd lay awake at night and wake up just, where am I? I'm supposed to be in class. I had senior moments before I got senior. But but look, they when they went into high school, that was a place that they had never been before. When Jerry first discovered that girls didn't have cooties and that they were nice to be around, and when Renee first discovered that boys weren't something that hit you and ran off, that was a new and different place that they'd never been before. So just like the Israelites, they've gone into new and different places before in their life. And oh, and by the way, so have you. So have you. Some of you know what it is to lose a spouse and have to live alone after you've lived for so long with somebody. Some of you know what it is to have surgery and have to change your lifestyle and not be able to do what you've always done before. Some of you know what it is to have kids that don't exactly do what you want them to do and the grief that causes you in life. And so all of us, We may be going to a new and different place tomorrow, but I would submit to you this morning that you've been there before. You've had that experience before. Point number three. When the Israelites came to a strange place before, all they had to do was follow the Ark of the Covenant. I mean, when they came, and let me remind you, the Ark of the Covenant, that was that little box, 2 by 2 by 2, if I remember my measurements right. Little box, covered with gold, had rings on the corner so the priest could put long poles covered with gold through those rings and carry it. Different things were in that box at different times. The Ten Commandments were in there. There was a pot of manna in there one time. And I think there was one other thing I can't recall right now, but different things in that box. There were two angels, two little angels on each side of, on the top of that box. And between those angels was the mercy seat, the lid of the box made out of gold. And it was there on the mercy seat that the presence of God dwelt. It was placed in the Holy of Holies in the tabernacle that Moses built and in the temple when it was built in Jerusalem. They placed that Ark of the Covenant. And the mercy seat was where God, his presence, came and dwelt there among the people. And when they didn't have it when they came out of Egypt, but when they got to Mount Sinai and God gave Moses the instructions for how to build the tabernacle, he also gave him the instructions on how to build the Ark of the Covenant. He said, I want you to make this little box, and everywhere you go, the Ark of the Covenant is going to lead you. You see, that's where the presence of God is. And so as that box leads you through the wilderness, it's just representing God, because he's the one that's leading you through the wilderness. And so they built the Ark of the Covenant there as around Mount Sinai as they built the tabernacle. And the priest began to carry it. And when it was time to travel, the priest lifted up the Ark of the Covenant and they carried it and the people followed. When God told the priest, said, well, we're not going to carry the Ark today, sit down, they didn't carry it and the people didn't move. And when they had a question, when they had a problem and they needed to talk to God, they would go into the Holy of Holies, to the Ark of the Covenant, and they would meet with God, and God would answer their questions and give them their instructions. You see, it was the presence of God represented by the Ark of the Covenant that led the people through the wilderness. It was God that gave them food to eat, as I've already mentioned. It was God that gave them water to drink, as I already mentioned. It was God that provided clothes that didn't wear out and shoes that grew as their feet grew. When they'd gone into that strange place before, what they depended on was God represented by the Ark of the Covenant. When the Ark of the Covenant moved, they moved. When the Ark of the Covenant stayed, they stayed. It was the God of the Ark of the Covenant that took care of them and provided for them and gave them everything that they needed. A little song, Dick, that we sing sometimes wasn't written then, but I think the Israelites, if they could have sung it, they would have sung that little chorus that we sing sometimes. My Lord knows the way through the wilderness. All I have to do is follow. My Lord knows the way through the wilderness. All I have to do is follow. Strength for today is mine all the way, and all that I need for tomorrow. My Lord knows the way through the wilderness. All I have to do is follow. That's all they had to do. They just had to follow the Ark. They just had to follow God. And Jerry, I want to point out to you, and Renee, as she hears the tape, I want to point out to her, all the times in your life that you've gone into a new, strange, and different place, and maybe sometimes you were so young you didn't even realize it, but what you depended on then was God going with you, watching out for you, and taking care of you. I can imagine Kate, as she sent you off to school, Jerry, for kindergarten for the first time. Maybe she took you like most moms do and had that emotional scene, you know, as they leave kindergarten. But I'm sure your mom went away with a prayer on her heart saying, God, take care of my little boy. And I don't know who took Renee to kindergarten for the first day, but I imagine it was the same thing. Somebody voiced a prayer saying, God, I'm leaving my little baby. You need to take care of her. I would point out to you that I've already gone into a strange and different place in the past. You depended on God to take care of you. You depended on God to give you strength when you didn't have any strength and thought you couldn't go on. You depended on God to heal your hurts. When your heart was broken and you didn't know how you were going to make it, you depended on God. And God took care of you, and God gave you the strength and what you needed to make it. Point number four. When the Israelites came to a strange place now, all they had to do was do the same thing that they did before. Follow the ark. Depend on God. Joshua told him. He said, when you see the priest take up the ark and it begins to move, then get up from the place where you've been and follow after it that ye may know the way to go, because you haven't been here before. God has. God knows what's going to happen tomorrow. God knows if there's going to be a heartache that come into your life tomorrow. And he's been there. And he knows the way to go. And so, if you're going into a new and different and strange place, Jerry, as you start college, Renee, as you start college, as you go into that new, different, and strange place, I would challenge you. You depend on God. You trust God. You listen as the Holy Spirit. You stay in the Bible. And I, as I say to them, I say to every single one of us, as we go into a new, strange, and different place. Hey, I don't know what tomorrow holds. Last Sunday night, Helen testified about a little boy who we've been praying for just about all his life that had muscular dystrophy. And she was rejoicing because he'd lived and he graduated from high school. And last Sunday they had their open house. And we were praising God for giving him the strength to do that. She came Wednesday night and said he passed away unexpectedly on Tuesday. See, I don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. But I know a God who does. And I know a God who will lead us in ways that we've never been before and take care of us and give us what we need to make it. So to Jerry and Renee, as you start a new life, I say to you, you depend on God. You listen to him. And I say to all of us who may face things tomorrow that we don't even dream of today, don't worry. Just depend on God, who always promises to go before us. We can all sing, "My Lord knows the way through the wilderness. All I have to do is follow. He'll give me the strength that I need to make it. I just need to trust him." Now, I'll tell you one place that the Lord wants to lead you this morning if you've never been, and that's into salvation. If you're here this morning and you've never received Christ as your Savior, the first place that your God wants to lead you is into a saving relationship with Jesus Christ. The Bible says we're all sinners. We've all fallen short of God's glory. There's a punishment or penalty for that sin, and that punishment is eternal separation from God, death. But the Bible tells us over and over again that God loved us, and he sent Jesus to die on the cross to take our place, to pay for our sin. And if we'd simply come and receive the gift of salvation that he purchased on Calvary, God promises to every single person. Boy, I'm glad we have a God that turns away no one. I'm glad that we have a God that if we'll come to Him, He'll take every single one of us. And God says, if you'll come to me, I'll take you. I'll make you one of my children, give you a home in heaven, forgive your sins, put them on Jesus' record, give you His righteousness. If you're going to follow God this morning, the first place you're going to follow Him is to salvation. And if you're here this morning, you've never received Christ as your Savior, in just a moment we're going to have a song of invitation. We're going to stand, and I want you to come, and we'll take the Bible, and from the Bible, show you what it is to ask Jesus to be your Savior. You might be a Christian. You have another need in your life. Maybe you haven't followed the Lord in baptism. Maybe the Lord's talked to you about joining the church. Maybe there's something else that you just need to talk to Him and get straight with Him. During this time of invitation, that's what this place is for, to do those things. And so I'd invite you to come. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for the wonderful truth that's in this book. Thank you for being the kind of God that you are. Such a good God. You take care of us. Sometimes you lead us into the wilderness, but you never make us go there by ourselves. You're always in front, leading the way, taking care and providing for us. I pray this morning, especially for Jerry and Renee and others that we know that are graduating from high school, from college, making decisions, making plans for the rest of their life. I pray that you'd be with them. Help them trust you, Lord. Help them depend on you. Help them seek your wisdom as they make their decisions. And then, Father, I pray for those that are not graduating, but who a new chapter of life may open tomorrow. I pray they'd also depend on you and seek your wisdom and seek your strength. Father, I pray this morning if there's just one person here that's never received Christ, I pray this morning they'd realize how much you love them, what Jesus did for them, and they would come this morning and receive the gift of salvation. Bless the invitation. Help us to do all things to the glory of God. For it's in His name we pray. Amen.